B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the news desk. Plus, we've got to talk about the crazy weekend in OWL and the LCS finals. Those conversations are coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Apple shocked many when they announced the Apple Arcade, a new subscription gaming service they'll be releasing. One of the first questions everyone asks is, what games will they have to make that viable? We still don't know exactly what they'll have, but we have learned about their budget. Apple will be investing over $500 million into exclusive titles on their platform.
Doesn't matter without third-party support.
Well,
honestly,
I mean, that I think that goes towards getting third-party support.
Because that's not what they showed us.
Yeah, because I don't know that it does. I mean, an investment of $500 million to me seems like they're going to be
first-party.
Yeah, they're going to be supporting supporting the platform first-party and with new new pieces of development, new games.
Yeah, even the stuff that I saw on their website that looked interesting and was more than what I expected is still no more than what you can already get, like, on Steam or something like that.
Right, right.
I mean, I just don't know what this sets apart from any, you know, of the hundreds of thousands of indie games that come out.
Nothing.
Or, you know
nothing.
What I mean?
Nothing.
Like, I understand a good concept will be able to rise to the top naturally, and maybe they'll be able to hit on something good here. I just don't see it, though.
BioWare has announced their first new expansion for Star Wars The Old Republic in years. The game, which launched in 2011, hasn't had a new expansion since 2016's Knights of the Eternal Throne. The new expansion, titled Onslaught, will launch in September and throws the players into a midst of the recently reignited war between the Galactic Republic and the Sith Empire.
Calling me a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, a new expansion on them. I mean, I played The Old Republic when it was, you know, recently released, and by all accounts, it is one of those games that got way better after
it's
a free-to-play model. And
3 years in between expansions?
That's a
like,
long
it
time.
Kinda, it really, like, if I was a part of that community, I would feel like, why so long?
That's
like,
the FF11 model for expansions right there.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, you put a lot of time there. Interesting, though. I'll be excited to see how that turns out.
From Software's latest title, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, looks to be a hit. Publisher Activision has revealed the game has already moved over 2 million units. Combined with high review scores and an excellent launch week on Twitch, Sekiro is one of the most successful launches of 2019.
I don't doubt it. I mean, From Software definitely has a very dedicated following. I'm not sure how much they grew their base with this. I mean,
I think 2 million is pretty strong for one of their titles.
2 million is definitely
for a Souls game,
is very good. Yeah. But
imagine how much more they would have sold if they had an easy mode.
Oh, get out. Go away. Get out of here, Robbie. No, but I mean, obviously, congratulations go out to them. In fact, we were watching Happy Hob earlier, the guy who did the Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 no-hit run.
Right, right.
He's working on a Sekiro no-hit run right
How's
now.
How's that going for him?
He was awfully...
Better than what an average human should be.
Well, that's true, but he was getting awfully frustrated with that fifth boss right there. So.
Yeah.
Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford has confirmed something that fans have been waiting to hear. After reports surfaced that Ashley Burch would not be reprising her role as Tiny Tina in Borderlands 3, fans reached out to Pitchford on Twitter to find out the truth. He alleviated their fears, confirming that Burch will indeed be reprising her role as the fan-favorite character from Borderlands 2.
This is great. This is fantastic. Ashley Burch is a really great vocal talent.
Chloe Price.
Yes, obviously from...
Also Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
I didn't know she did Aloy as well.
Yep.
Well,
yep,
no kidding.
Sure.
That's awesome. But yeah, that's great to have her attached to the project. So that's I think that's fantastic.
Twitch has released their first video game, and it's available now for free.
Huh?
Twitch Sings is a karaoke title built to directly interact with the Twitch platform.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Actually, that's a cool, that's a great idea.
Like not
that's
a
great idea.
Yeah. Features include being able to cheer with emotes, virtual ovations for great performances, and voting to determine the next song in the queue. Twitch says the game is launching with a library of thousands of songs.
This is great. Cool. No, I think that's fantastic.
I think it's a great idea conceptually. That sounds like a licensing nightmare.
Here's the thing, though.
If
it's being spearheaded by Twitch, you know that it's okay to do on the platform. The question mark right now is if you wanted to do karaoke on the platform, is, you know, who owns the rights to that version of the karaoke
right.
but the version. Song, but if the song...
But if they're working yeah. directly with them, you know yeah. all's good. Yeah. I think that's phenomenal.
No, it is great. I mean, come on, man. Amazon Music, though. They already got licenses for stuff.
Capcom has gotten in on the trend of mini consoles, although theirs is a little different. Their device is in the shape of a Capcom logo and mimics arcade controls. It plugs into your TV and has 16 games pre-installed, including Alien vs. Predator, Street Fighter 2, Mega Man the Power Battle, Final Fight, and others. It'll cost around $290 and releases October 25th.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm out!
What?
Correctly.
$290?
Listen, I've seen, y'all know how much I love me some Capcom.
Yes.
And I saw the video of this. This is objectively stupid.
$290.
This is ridiculous.
For what?
For $290. Actually, for an extra $200, I could just get an arcade cabinet.
Yeah, why not?
Put a main board, put a Raspberry Pi in it, and I could get all these games.
That's bananas.
It's ridiculous.
Following the fire that damaged large portions of the Notre Dame Cathedral in France, the country has pledged to rebuild it. To do so, architects will pore over content and photos of the cathedral to recreate it as closely as possible. One of these sources will be Assassin's Creed Unity, which went to painstaking lengths to ensure the cathedral was accurately represented in the game.
I'm going
to
tell you why this is such a great idea, because when I was in college, I had an art history course, and we used Assassin's Creed 2 to study all of the Renaissance architecture from that era. So I think this is a great way for them to be able to help with the rebuilding of Notre Dame, especially the spire. And I think this is great on Ubisoft to say we put so much work into it. It's good that there's actual tangible benefit to digitally preserving.
Well, that's very true.
And it makes me think of Assassin's Creed Origins when they went to, they had like that educational mode for...
exploration mode.
Yeah, exploration mode, because they had gone to such painstaking lengths to make sure the details of that era were correctly represented.
Yeah.
It really speaks to kind of the value of, you know, going that extra mile on your research.
Absolutely. And man, the footage of Notre Dame burning.
Oh my gosh.
Just the most heartbreaking
it
footage.
It is heartbreaking, especially considering I had just seen it like this time last year. It was crazy to even think that this is something that could ever be damaged, ever. Like,
yeah.
It's that, it has that energy around it.
The good news is that it just recently, it's going through renovation, so a lot of the artifacts inside are still safe because
that's
they were
good.
Taking out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. This week, got our first details about the upcoming PlayStation 5. Developer Mark Cerny, who worked on the PlayStation 4, is working on the next-gen console, revealed some information about the system in an interview with Wired.
Yeah, so first of all, that's interesting. I'm not used to getting any kinds of details out of Sony at any time besides press conference time, but okay.
I'm
a little worried for Mark's job, but
yeah.
You would think that this would have been cleared. I mean,
you would think so.
A publication as big as Wired, like,
yeah.
So, this is not something where they were out buying Mark drinks and he was just spilling his guts about it, right? Slip.
Actually, I hope that's exactly what happened.
That would be awesome if that was the case, but like, no, I have to imagine that Sony cleared this. So
first and foremost, he would not confirm that it's going to be called the PS5, but conventional wisdom make you think it is.
Internally,
first
of all, it doesn't matter. That's what we're going to call it.
That's what I was going to call it.
Like,
yeah.
Wait, have they not learned from the folly of Microsoft? Like,
yeah.
Microsoft got dragged for all of their goofy naming decisions.
Even
so, like, why would you? Why would you do that?
So the system is partially based on PS4 architecture and will be backwards compatible with
that's
the PS4.
Cool.
If that's true, that's amazing.
That's amazing. It will also have a disk drive and still accept physical media. It's not going exclusively digital.
Well, physical media is kind of like ridiculous at this point when the only thing that you're getting on that disk is an installer.
Yeah, it doesn't mean what it once did. Although, if we're talking about backwards compatibility, it might still be important.
Okay,
that sort of
fair
thing.
Enough. Fair enough.
One of the larger improvements that they're actually going to be looking at with this is going to be 3D audio.
Yes.
3D audio is going to be standard on PS5.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds so great.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's going to help me for Apex.
Yeah, that naturally led to questions about PSVR, whether there'd be an update for it. He was unwilling to talk about that except to say that PSVR is still very much a part of their plan moving forward.
Okay, very good.
That's great.
So yeah, if you would assume...
Yeah, if you invested the, what was it, $300-$400 into the headgear to know that that's going to be supported into the next generation, good.
That's good news to hear.
I feel like my investment has not been wasted.
One of the big things they're also working on is they're going to be making a move to solid state hard drives.
Yes.
He did a demonstration where he did a load sequence for Spider-Man. He did it on a PS4 Pro, and then he did it on a PS5 dev kit. 15 seconds on the PS4 Pro.
Wow.
0.8 seconds on the PS5 dev kit. And basically what he said is one of their big things is they want no loading screens on the PS5. They don't want there to be load times.
Okay, so what happens to all the clever loading screens that give you tips and hints, because Nate really needs those.
No, they go away. We don't need them anymore.
They come up as pop-up videos now. They come up as pop-up, you know, like...
They have that AI that's going to help players who aren't good enough. That's what it's going to be. But I like solid-state hard drives, that's awesome. Thank heaven we're finally there.
How did it take that long to get solid-state hard drives into a Sony piece of hardware?
And you can put a solid-state hard drive in your PS4.
Yes, you can. And it increases the load time quite a bit.
But not by 10 seconds.
Not like that. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. How excited are you for the PlayStation 5? Do you think they're going to call it the PS5? What do you think they're going to call it? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll recap the weekend action in the LCS Finals, as well in the Overwatch League. Our league updates will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Is Sony pushing us further into a Ready Player One future?
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in on the latest in the Overwatch League, as well as the finals of the LCS. We've got to talk about these crazy finals. Those conversations are ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
Sarah Skopic.
Sony has filed a patent to enhance their PSVR peripheral. The idea is to use a number of strategically placed cameras to allow a user to virtually attend an esports tournament. The patent also describes allowing users to toggle between being in the game and in the crowd.
So I like this. Conceptually, yeah. I like this idea. And something that you guys had talked about out at NAB was this idea of, like, you know, strapping into your, you know, your VR headset, and then suddenly, instead of spectating something in Summoner's Rift, you're literally placed in right in the middle.
Right. What if I could hang out somewhere on Summoner's Rift and watch the action happening, move across the field as I want?
Follow your favorite player around.
How appealing is that to you as an esports fan?
Day one purchase.
Appealing. Really? Yeah.
Like, if you can show me this technology where I can be, you know what? It's hard to afford a trip out to South Korea. I don't know if anyone's aware of that. But if you can say to
me, I haven't priced it out recently, but I would assume. Yeah.
If you can say to me, I can strap on a VR headset, be in that stadium for the KDA performance at the beginning, and then toggle onto Summoner's Rift to watch the action happening. day one purchase. I mean, absolutely.
Joe has the right of it because we know League of Legends would be the first to do it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm pretty impressed with the concept. I'd like to see this fleshed out a little bit more.
The gaming intelligence OpenAI 5 has officially defeated a team of pro Dota 2 players. OG, winners of Valve's 2018 International, held out as long as they could, with the first match going over 30 minutes. Now the AI will be turned loose on the public. OpenAI has started registration to play either cooperatively or against the AI in exhibition matches.
Metal Gear.
This is terrifying.
This should scare everyone. First of all,
this is terrifying.
The phrase "turn loose on the public" is very accurate because that's what this is a setup for.
All right, how many films do we need to illustrate the dangers of just turning loose AI on the general
public?
Listen,
I've seen all of the Matrix movies. I've seen all of the Terminator movies. I know how this story ends, guys.
You guys.
First, they're beating us at League of Legends. Then they're beating us at other more complicated games. So, and then they're actually beating us on battlefields. This is terrifying.
You guys haven't heard that story about the AI robot that that they've been carting around has recently said that she just wants to be respected.
What? No.
Yeah.
What? Oh. They have an AI robot that said, "I want to be respected."
Yeah.
This is it.
I love that
our immediate reaction isn't, "Yeah, maybe we should just respect something." It's no, kill it.
That's the thing. Is like we've seen this play out. We can't attack. We have to. It's too late. We have to respect them. They're here. Clearly, if we attack, we're the ones starting the war. This is how the Matrix started.
That is true. I have watched the Animatrix enough to know this.
It's time to blight the sky.
Yeah, they are solar powered.
That's a little bit of a preemptive strike there. I don't think we need to go that far.
I think we do. I think we either got to go way too far or not at all. We either submit now or just blow up the planet.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
NetherRealm Studios has finally clarified their stance on microtransactions ahead of the release of Mortal Kombat 11. They've made it clear that they don't want anything purchasable to affect gameplay. While there will be a currency for purchasing things like cosmetics or easy fatalities, nothing that affects the gameplay will be available for purchase. Also, no loot boxes.
This is at least a little bit similar to the way that like WWE 2K19 did their sort of stuff. There was like an internal currency. You could buy more if you really wanted it, but most of it was cosmetics, moves, or
you could earn it through gameplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you can't buy anything that affects gameplay. The most gameplay affecting thing is an easy fatality, which is just a one button fatality.
Yeah,
but you already had to win anyway.
At that point, you've won the match. So yeah, what's the point? Yeah.
A network channel in Korea, KBS, is looking to create a reality show called God of Overwatch. They're currently seeking talent to compete in a tournament and eventually form a pro Overwatch team. Hopefully this will go better than Gamers did in Sweden or The Next Gamer in Australia.
Hang on, this actually...
I think it could work.
This actually has a shot, because yes. if there's any environment, if there's any one country where esports has solidified itself in the mainstream zeitgeist, it's Korea, man.
And this could be just as important as like how Survivor winners were, you know, miniature celebrities by the time they won the actual competition in the States.
Because in Korea, esports athletes are already seen as rock stars. This speaks to me way more of being like American Idol.
Exactly.
It is a form of performance that everyone respects already. So you can have that kind of show.
The only issue with this is that Blizzard sort of like, you know, holds the reins for who gets to come into the league and who doesn't. Just saying we're going to be a pro team doesn't necessarily
mean
that
be a contenders team.
To me, that's the biggest question mark is where does Blizzard fall on all of this? Because if they're in on it, if they've already kind of given, you know, a green light or at
they
least
got their $20 million,
maybe they back channel. Yeah, maybe they've already got their money. Maybe they back channeled a green light to this whole idea. I don't know. I mean, we do know that the league is looking to expand in the third season. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
While Apex Legends had one of the best launches in modern history, it's feeling the struggle of maintaining that pace. Following a widely panned battle pass, engagement with the game continues to plummet. Whereas the game averaged 300,000 viewers on Twitch in February, it's now struggling to top 40,000 viewers.
That's because there's a $100 million tournament for another game.
That definitely did not help. But what have they done to actually help keep that momentum going?
That's the thing. The battle pass flopping is huge because you needed to, when you bring in that many people, you need to be putting out content to entertain that number of people. people.
And you got to do it quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying it's fair. I'm saying that's the way of
but
the
I
world.
Mean, again, like the a statistic, you know, like the game having 300,000 viewers on Twitch in February, now struggling to get over 40,000. That to me says, listen, this is not just a problem at the top of your pyramid. This is not just a problem among the pro players. This is a problem across the whole community.
Yep.
Psyonix made a long-awaited addition to their in-game store this week. They've added branded items for 11 of their RLCS teams, with the teams themselves collecting 30% of all revenue from the sale of their items. The teams included in the pilot launch of the service are Cloud9, NRG, TSM, G2 Esports, Evil Geniuses, Rogue, Splice, Ghost Gaming, Mouse Sports, Team Vitality, and Dignitas. Additionally, a portion of the sales will go towards boosting the RLCS prize pools.
I think this is a great idea. Brilliant. This is another version of revenue sharing for
beautiful.
Esports. And yes, there will be some, you know, skews towards the top. I can see Cloud9 and TSM and the source
popular teams
more because
yeah.
they're popular. But I think this is awesome, and this is a way to get people to fund those prize pools. So I think it's a great idea.
SK Telecom T1 has unveiled a sponsorship deal with Riot Games Korea. The deal will see them become the official sponsor of the LCK region until 2020. Along with other major telecommunications companies in Korea, SKT made a bid and were ultimately rewarded the sponsorship. They'll have broadcast rights to the LCK region on their streaming service and will also be exploring augmented and virtual reality concepts for viewership. And yes, SKT will continue to compete in the LCK region.
I think
very
this
impressive.
Is cool, but also a little concerning. Yeah, a team in the league is the sponsor of the league? I don't know.
Very weird.
I don't like that.
Very weird.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Major news broke last week when it was reported that Houston Rockets had finally found a buyer for Clutch Gaming. The organization will be sold to the Philadelphia 76ers. Why is that important? Because the 76ers are the owners of a legacy esports brand, namely Dignitas.
Yeah, so with the sale, Clutch Gaming is going to be rebranded into Dignitas for the LCS Summer Split. Many people in the community, of course, utterly shocked when Dignitas was not awarded one of the slots in the LCS when the franchising model came into play. This is amazing. I'm really excited for this. Dignitas was one of my favorite teams. It'll be good to see them compete. I mean, of course, you know, we're not seeing those players
it's
compete.
The, it's the I name. Was, that's it's what I was. Team. It's Dignitas in name only. It's not the same team, but it'll just. I mean, yeah, just having that kind of endemic name that's been so well respected, you know, coming into the scene. That's great.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing: is that you know we do have a couple of esports teams, you know, namely like Optic Gaming, that are kind of looking for buyers right now.
Yeah.
And with the price to buy into some of these leagues being so steep, you may be able to, you know, sort of kind of back channel that and get a back door into these big leagues and the big revenue numbers by just buying a team that's already there.
Well, the team sold for about $20 million, of which $12.5 million is going to just paid out in cash. The remaining will go towards funding the team's operations through the end of the 2021 season. And in addition, the Rockets are actually going to maintain a 31.8% share in the new franchise that's created by this. So
interesting.
That is kind of interesting. Also, both Echo Fox and Optic Gaming looking to make kind of a similar play. They're looking to kind of sell their majority share, maintain a portion of the company, but kind of get that quick cash turnaround on their investment for the majority share. I'm curious as to what the cause is for that, because by all accounts, viewership in LCS is outstanding right now. Viewership in the LEC is outstanding. I don't see why there'd be any need to kind of abandon ship. So it sounds like maybe these were guys who just were investing to maybe do that quick flip.
It could be. I mean, of course, anywhere, you know, where you can smell money, that's always an option, is to buy in and then be able to, you know, cash out, you know, in a couple of years. That may be the case here. I'm not sure. Maybe they got into it and they got completely overwhelmed and they were like, we don't know what we're doing.
That could be.
It could be. All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for Dignitas to return to the LCS? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll recap the weekend's action in the LCS Finals as well as the Overwatch League. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insights, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Last week played host to Stage 2 action in the Overwatch League. In addition, the finals of the spring split of the LCS were held over the weekend in St. Louis. We'll get you all the latest in both, but let's go ahead and start with the Overwatch League.
So the first thing I want to start with is we actually had some numbers that have came out so far for Stage 2 that has actually seen a decline in the Twitch viewings. Yeah. They've actually had some trouble getting above sort of the 80-90K mark.
Roughly about half of what Stage 1 was doing.
Yeah, which I guess I'm not really sure how to feel about it, because especially going into Stage 2, we have seen a decent meta shakeup at this point. You know, GOATS is still there, but we have started to see the DPS comps, you know, become a lot more prevalent.
Here's the thing, is I think that number one, you still have viewer fatigue. I mean, it's hard to sit there and watch 6 hours of Overwatch, and we all know
3 days in a row.
Four
days in a row.
And the thing is that we know that people don't want to just follow one team. Yeah. People like, they have a home team, but they like following the league itself. But it is hard to watch all night long.
I'd be interested to know what the number of unique viewers are, because this is obviously just talking about concurrent.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and again, you talk about the phenomenon of viewer fatigue. You know, we kind of saw this in Stage 2 and in Stage 3 last year, in last season of the OWL, where viewership started to dip and then started to rebound as Stage 4 and the stakes started to rise again.
No, I agree. It's always going to ramp, get a little slow in the middle of the season and ramp up towards the playoffs times. I mean, even traditional sports have the same sort of bell curve, reverse bell curve kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too worried about it, but I do think by next season, Overwatch needs to be free to play.
We've also got, you know, we've also got Overwatch making its way to actual television as well on Disney XD. We also saw, you know, the finals of Stage 1 on ABC as well. So could it be that viewers are actually moving over to Disney XD?
I don't think they're moving, but if that accounts for at least 10,000 people, which, I mean, in the grand scheme of Nielsen is not a lot of people.
Right.
If that accounts for 10,000 people, then yeah, easily. That could account for what's leaking.
I would think that the exposure would be enough to just justify being on Disney XD.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few other notes, too. Obviously, New York and the Titans are still sitting in the top. San Francisco actually has a perfect win rate so far on the stage with 3 full sweeps.
Wow. I told y'all, don't sleep on them.
Yep. The LA Gladiators, after a mediocre Stage 1 performance, are actually sitting at the number 2 spot. And we've seen both the Defiant and the Atlanta Reign, who did well last stage, are both sitting near the bottom.
Yeah, I did also see the Gladiators talking some trash to the Valiant.
Oh, so much trash.
That's like the fun of those like cross-city rivalries, is the trash talk is really amped
up. It was particularly bad because because the Valiant weren't like trash-talking back. Like, you could tell they were hurting from it, so they're just like, whatever, man.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening right now over at our Twitch page over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join us live every single weekday, Monday through Friday, live at 5 p.m. Eastern over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Let's shift focus over to the LCS because we've got to talk about the finals in the spring split that really were something to watch.
Yeah, TSM and Team Liquid face off in what will be remembered as one of the all-time great
League of Legends
matchups.
And it's so funny too, because I hate it. I really kicked myself from not watching as much Overwatch, but I had to watch this LCS finals.
Yeah,
I had to.
Norris, you weren't alone. It was one of the best viewed LCS matches of all time with a peak of just under 600,000 viewers.
Wow.
And an average of nearly 200,000 viewers. Only the 2017 spring finals between TSM and C9 actually beat out those numbers.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously the match gets started. TSM powers out to a 2-0 lead in the series. We get a Heimerdinger pick in that first match by Team Liquid. Jensen rocks Heimerdinger mid lane. A lack of respect, or do you think it was a power pick? What do you think the thinking was there?
I think it was a power pick. They're trying to, you know, throw something out there, be weird, kind of get a little throw TSM off balance a little bit. It didn't work ultimately.
At this point, with TSM up 2-0,
yeah.
You guys have got to be flipping out.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, TSM's already beaten Team Liquid twice throughout the season. And yeah. All we can sit there thinking is, oh my God, it's going to happen again.
Did they get Team Liquid's number?
Right. Is it just maybe it's just these five players can beat that other
five It would be the shock of the season for Team Liquid to be such a juggernaut only to fall in the finals.
But here's
TSM.
What happened. Something very important. You had Smithy switch over to Skarner. And that's a character that's much been improved in this last pack.
Yeah, well, he got the buff where his zones were expanded out. That helps.
So the zones from his spires were expanded. And when you looked at the following matches, the subsequent matches after those picks, and you looked at the big team fights, Smithy is somewhere in the middle making a big play.
Yeah. I mean, Team Liquid, they come back, they take game three in a long game, a long style game. Game four
is a smash. Stomp of a game.
Team Liquid gets out to just this unsurmountable lead at the beginning. We get to game five, and it looks like TSM woke up. Like, TSM, it does almost exactly what Team Liquid did to them in game four at the beginning. TSM gets out to this huge lead. They had the one fight at the Infernal Drake, mm-hmm. where they took the Infernal Drake and four kills off Team Liquid.
Wow.
The announcers,
they got an ace.
The announcers have called the game. It's effectively over, it sounds like. But it's not. Then Sven decides he's going to throw hard, apparently.
Right next to the Baron. He got caught poking. Ended up dying. They ended up securing the Baron, moving down, securing
Elder Drake. Yeah.
And at that
get
point,
another Baron.
Get it. Well, not before both Jensen and Smithy take out like half of TSM by themselves.
Wow.
And you looked at it and you realize, oh my God,
they're going to do this.
Team Liquid's going to do this.
Yeah.
And they secure that second Baron. And you saw it. It was almost like you saw Double F and Jensen and them key in, and you just saw a wave of Team Liquid just.
Yeah. You could watch the wind go out of TSM sails. Yep. Like it was over. So yeah. Team Liquid takes the win, completes the reverse sweep. They've now won three consecutive splits since the introduction of franchise mode. They look amazing. They'll be representing North America at MSI, which means we're all going to be very disappointed at MSI, I'm sure.
Yes.
A couple of things about that. Andy and Steve, who are the owners of Team Solomid and Team Liquid, respectively, they put $100,000 on that match.
Right. Wow.
You got some great trash talk. Andy tweets out, "I can't wait to crush Team Liquid. They've never been able to win anything without buying talent." And then Steve immediately replies, Andy called it Team Solomid because it's the only position they can afford.
Bjergsen, come back and defend your team, man.
Right?
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, Core JJ takes off Team Liquid, takes the spring split MVP. Huge congratulations go out to Team Liquid for a well-fought split and to really rise to the occasion and kind of beat that bugaboo in TSM.
Absolutely. Congratulations all around to Team Liquid for taking that split. Listen, we want to hear from you. Did you watch this nail-biter of a final? Connect with us on social media. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, and let us know what you thought. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we ask our social media followers what moment in gaming brought them to tears. What made you cry? And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band We're Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.